Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock, and we are injury attorneys, and we are here to help you, just like we've done every week for years. This show is to cover a different injury subject. We do it every week. We try to give you the information. We try to give you the information to empower yourself, to help yourself and your family. You know what to do with adjusters. You know what to do when things are going bad. You know what the ground rules are. You know what the parameters are. So we're glad to do it, and we've been doing it for years. You know, our website is championsofthepeople.com. If you want to go there, it's an information-loaded website. And by the way, all the podcasts of all of our radio shows, we do more than this radio show. All of our radio shows are on our website, this homepage at the bottom of the homepage. You can click on them. You can listen to them. You can download them. They're free. And the reason they're free is so you can get the information to help yourself. Information is power. That's what we're here for, to give you the information, to give you the power, to give you the understanding. Because, you know, let's just face it, the law is a complicated situation in many instances. It's complicated to which law is going to apply. You have the common law, you have statutory law, and you have rules and regulations. And so we cover those, and we try to give you the information. Okay, today we're talking about amusement parks. You know, it's summertime, and you've got family activities outside. You've got amusement parks. You've got all kinds of activities. You've got river rafting. You've got river floating. You've got horseback rides. But today, and we're going to cover those in the upcoming weeks, but today we're going to talk about amusement parks. And what is the liability? What's your rights? What you need to know? What you need to know about your rights, what you need to know about their duties, their obligations to keep you and your family safe. Everybody goes to amusement parks. Those are pretty scary rides. Some of them are very high-risk rides. Some of them are very dangerous rides, and they better be properly constructed. They better be properly maintained. They better be properly repaired. And we're going to announce today that there's a brand-new regulation in Colorado, effective May 7th. 2014. So, but first, let's lay the groundwork. You've got very complicated laws. We're not going to get to the regulations yet, but very complicated laws on how you approach the situation. If somebody's been injured, and we don't wish this on anybody, but it happens across the country. You know, Brad, the usual fight is between premises liability law, very complicated situation, or negligence law, common law negligence law. And let's cover that and explain to the people what that means.
Well, you know, when you're dealing in common law, once again, you're dealing with the idea of just simple negligence, being a duty of care, the breach of that duty of care, causation, or cause the accident, and there's injuries resulting from the incident. You know, that isn't that far off with respect to when you're doing an amusement park, except for our Colorado legislature has enacted the Premises Liability Act, which most defense lawyers and most insurance adjusters, when they get involved in any kind of case, they want the Premises Liability Act to apply. They want it to apply because it creates different standards. It doesn't create the regular common law standards. The standards are much tougher. Whether the legislature really intended it to be that way is still a question mark. But the bottom line is the courts are applying it that way. And what the Premises Liability Act does is it hurts the ability of a victim to be able to bring their case. It doesn't completely stop it, but it hurts the ability of the victim to do it. So we get to the Premises Liability Act, and the Premises Liability Act talks about three classes of people. It talks about a trespasser, where if you're at an amusement park and you're riding during the hours of operation, you paid for your ticket to get in, you're not going to be considered a trespasser. Now, you're a licensee, you're not going to be considered to be a licensee, and then you get to the question of an invitee. And that's where you've come on to do business or to accept the business that they're providing to you of riding the rides and participating in amusement park activities. And so you become an invitee. As an invitee, of the classifications, the amusement park has the greatest degree, they have the greatest degree of duties to you in protecting you from the injuries.
Yeah, you know, this is a very complicated area, so we're going to try to boil it down and make it simple to understand as far as we can. You know, the common law duty of negligence, what is negligence? Well, it's doing something you shouldn't do, basically. I mean, that's a simplified version of it, but there are standards set. What do you think the standards are for a roller coaster? What do you think the standards are you know, for a Ferris wheel. What do you think the standards are for all these rides? Some of them can result in very significant injuries and death. Well, those standards, if you breach those standards, if the amusement park owner company breaches those standards, then that's negligence. They're breaching the standards in the industry. They're breaching what they should be doing, and then it causes an injury. So the legislature, as Brad said, passed this premises liability statute, which means if you're injured on somebody's premises, so that's an amusement park, right? Then which one applies, the negligence standard or the premises liability? And as Brad just said a minute ago, a lot of courts are enforcing the premises liability statute, which Brad is correct, it makes it tougher for the victim to recover. You basically have to prove that there's a dangerous condition of which the owner knew or should have known about that caused the injury. So it's a little bit different standard. It's tougher. They wanted it to be tougher, but it still can be solved. But you need to understand at the very get-go, the negligence and premises liability are competing laws for determining who and what's responsible and liable. And the other thing is that there's a whole host of negligence we can't cover here today in the show, and there's a whole area of explanation on premises liability. But that's the basic breakdown.
Right, and I think when you get down to it, I'm not certain that when the Premises Liability Act wasn't passed, that the idea was defective conditions to the land or the property, not to the items on the property that you're riding. And that's the difference. Is there a defective condition to the land or the property, such as maybe ice or water or some kind of condition where you get hurt due to the nature of the land versus the ride where you get hurt on the ride?
Right.
But I think the what's been happening is everybody's expanding premises liability to include any actions being taken on the land, any activities being taken on the land. So you better be ready. Any lawyer you're dealing with, if you've been hurt or somebody you know has been hurt in a case like this, the lawyer better be ready to handle a premises liability case.
Exactly.
And if they don't know how to handle a premises liability case, if they don't understand how it might extend, then the lawyers better get out of the business or better get co-counsel with somebody who does know what they're doing.
Right, and you need to find a lawyer who knows how to do that. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Or our website is championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Let's go to another example, Brad, that you just mentioned. Okay, so a good example is if you're in an amusement park and there's a hole in the ground, big hole, they've been digging something, they didn't put any barriers up, there's no warnings, you fall in the hole. I mean, it can be 10 feet, 20 feet. Okay, so that's a defect in the land, that's a dangerous condition on the premises, on the land, on the grounds itself, which caused your injury.
Premises now comparing, liability.
Yeah. Now compare that to they didn't repair correctly, or they didn't even inspect correctly the Ferris wheel,
or they didn't train the employee who got you on the Ferris wheel, so the employee didn't properly latch the bar, and you end up falling from the Ferris wheel.
Right. Exactly. Or the roller coaster, and there's no seat belt. Or what if there's no seat belts when they're required to be seat belts? So. Right. You see the difference between the premises liability and injury on the land versus negligence, what they should be doing with regard to the safety of the rides.
And then you get the fine lines. What if somebody gets hurt by walking onto the roller coaster ride or track and gets hurt because the property wasn't fenced off right or the ride wasn't fenced off right? And so, but what you're getting is they all want to shove it under premises liability. Just, understand that. They're going to try and make that because that's where they have the least responsibility.
Right. And that's where it's harder for you, the victim, to recover. But you need attorneys who understand this, to know this, and how to navigate these laws and navigate the category that they try to shove it into, like premises liability laws. You can call us at any time, 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. Okay. So now we're talking about, and you understand now, the general legal framework. You're injured at the amusement park. You've got the concept of negligence. You got the concept of premises liability. So we got a break coming up, but right after the break, there's some brand new regulations. And by the way, how do regulations fit into these laws? How do regulations fit into the common law? How do regulations fit into the statutory law for premises liability? And we'll cover those when we get back after the break. You're listening to The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We're conveniently located in Greenwood Village, I-25 and Orchard, basically easy access, free parking, a lot of parking. We're on the second floor, suite 220. Our telephone number, 303-795-5900. Give us a call. We are Colorado's premier injury law firm, and we are your champions of the people.
Ready for an extraordinary lunch? As fast or as slow as you want it, with all fresh ingredients? Caitlin's Restaurant has it all. Express lunches that won't keep you waiting. Or, if you prefer, lunch served in that old-fashioned homemade style. All made fresh, on the spot. Whether it's a fresh-made sandwich with homemade chips, quesadilla loaded with cheddar or jack cheeses, or scratch-made soups, you'll find everything you love at Caitlin's. Caitlin's is located on Mississippi just east of Colorado Boulevard next to Bookies. How about green chili chicken stew? Think about a variety of fresh-made sandwiches or a 11 different kinds of burgers made to order with 1/2 pound of the finest USDA choice lean ground beef. You might favor a homemade New Mexican recipe with carne adobada burritos, chicken enchiladas, carnitas burritos, served with hash browns, special recipe beans, cheeses with guacamole, and your choice of homemade red or green chili sauces. For those who prefer the lighter side, there are fresh made salads and lighter fares. Sure to delight. Try Caitlin's for lunch or breakfast on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard next to Bookies. Call 303-798-6600. You'll love it every bite of the way.
When a driver chooses to violate a safety rule, everyone on the road is in danger. That means you, me, everyone. Driving and dangerous choices. Think about it. The only allowable choice is the safest choice. Otherwise, you and your family are put at risk, in harm's way. This is really what car crashes are all about. One driver makes a choice that violates a safety rule. Everyone else is needlessly put in danger. In danger of injury, medical bills, surgery, lost jobs, quality of life changes, and future expenses. All it takes is one driver and one dangerous choice. I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We've been representing injured victims for over 25 years. We can help you put your life back together again. We'll fight the insurance company who defends those who injure you and your family, those who make dangerous choices. At Bell and Pollock, we are experienced injury attorneys who care about you and your family. Reach us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com or call us at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. One call, that's all. Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We are here to help you. And more importantly, we're here to give you the information you need to give you power. Information is power. Everybody knows that. I mean, when you don't know something about it, something you're guessing, you're trying to figure it out. You know, you can go to the experts at any time. Our telephone number is 303-795-5900, our website, championsofthepeople.com. Okay, Brad, we covered the initial law, negligence, and premises liability, but, you know, there's different subjects, there's different subcategories, and let's discuss a few of those.
Right, there are some different subcategories, and, of course, the one we're gonna focus on the most today is failing to maintain equipment in a safe condition. But understand that you have certain claims, or you may have certain claims in a number of areas. One can be failing to post a clear warning sign. Not just a warning sign as far as, hey, this could be dangerous, or warning signs, stay out of this area because you're in the middle of the tracks, you're in the middle of the ride, or you're where the ride's going to come hammering down or whatever. But also, and that should also be fenced. If it's not properly fenced or protected, you got a problem. But also warning patrons of things like blood pressure, that we may have blood pressure or heart problems, or have certain physical conditions that they should not be on this ride, or they should be a certain age, or they should be a certain size, or they should be, of a proper health, the health risks that are involved. Posting signs that don't adequately warn riders of the risks involved. They should be warning the riders of the risks involved, letting them know what the ride does, because a lot of people don't know what kind of forces and what they're dealing with. Even in bumper cars, you can get hurt in a bumper car ride. And so the question is, are you telling people beware and be cautious? If you have neck problems, you probably don't want to go near that bumper car ride. Failing to regularly inspect the rides, we'll be talking about that. Improperly operating a ride. The operator of the ride, has the person been trained? We hire a lot of summer help during this time period. Somebody get them on and off the rides. Have they been trained? Do the people that are operating the rides know what they're doing? And then providing instructions to riders. Don't stand up. Don't do this. Don't put your arms out. Different things that have to advise the rider that this is something that you don't want them doing, and that they have to be, they shouldn't be doing while they're on the ride. So those are some areas, but let's talk mainly, Gary, about failing to maintain equipment in a safe condition and the failure to regularly inspect the rides.
Right. I mean, that's where the heart of this conversation and this show is going to be. We're obviously not going to be able to get through this subject. We're going to have to continue this because this is very important that you know this because, you know, let's just all face it. When we were kids, our parents were going to take us to the amusement park or the carnival came to town or whatever happened. And wow, it was exciting. Wow, we're going to get to on these rides and you know, go to Disneyland or anything like that. But what? And you should enjoy them, but they need to be maintained. They need to be in compliance with the rules and regulations. And so what are these rules and regulations? And we got some new ones that are published effective May 7th, 2014. That's right now. Brand new rules and regulations. And there's a grace period in there in which the operators of these amusement parks have to comply with the rules and regulations. But it's important that you know they exist, okay? And they do apply to what Brad just talked about, the construction, the repair, the making these rides safe. And that's what these rules and regulations apply to. You know, think about this. There's a case in California that just came out recently where a lady was injured in bumper cars. And the California Supreme Court ruled that her injuries was a result of the inherent risk in the use of the bumper car. So is the injury caused by the bumper cars or is it caused by defective equipment or equipment that wasn't repaired? I mean, so the difference in that situation would be, she said, I rode bumper cars. Well, there's an inherent risk and it ought to be known. It ought to be posted. And, you know, as a side note, in Colorado, we got the Colorado Ski Safety Act that talks about how you recover for ski accidents. And they talk about inherent risks in that statute, but that's for another day. So we're talking about these amusement rights. But what if you're in the bumper car and you didn't get injured by just the normal activity of bumper cars? Your car just took off uncontrollably and you couldn't control it. And you hit this, that, and you hit the side, and you maybe even fell over. Maybe it went off the track, the steel floor. So those are examples where that's not an inherent risk. The inherent risk is you're going to be in bumper cars and you're going to bump each other. That's not an inherent risk when something's amiss. So let's do explore, Brad, a little bit about these operation and the maintenance and construction repair, and let's talk a little bit about these rules and regulations.
Well, the first thing that everybody should be aware of is, Gary told you, is that we have the new regulations. Understanding of the new regulations, there's a lot of paperwork that has to be kept and a lot of records. You want to have access to those records, and you want those records available. You may want the ride inspected. And so one of the first and most important things you do is report the injury. Get a hold of your attorney, report the injury, talk to an attorney. A lot of times these reporting requirements are within 72 hours. You need to report it to the place where you've been. If you don't recognize the injury till later on, you need to get a hold of an attorney. You need to have an attorney who gets the claim reported immediately.
You know, you do, and that's so important because, you know, years ago there was an accident up in ski country where the chairlift cable snapped, and people went flying everywhere. I mean, so that's not an inherent risk of skiing. You think your chairlift is going to be safe, constructed safely, repaired properly, maintained properly, but they went flying everywhere. And the reason I'm bringing that up is it was important in that case to get immediate court order, to get an immediate court order to preserve the evidence, to not do anything with the cable, have some engineers inspect it, and not have it destroyed or lost or misused or altered or changed. Okay, so now in these new regulations for amusement parks, rather, there's a provision that if there's a reportable injury, somebody's injured, they have duties and obligations to preserve this equipment.
That's right. And they do. And you can get it preserved and you can report the injury, not just the amusement park, not only get your lawyer involved, but also report the injury to the appropriate division. But I'm willing to bet nobody out there knows what division it goes to.
Right.
And I, you know, it's almost a trivia question we can use on the show on Saturday morning because people aren't going to know what division you do. And would anybody ever dream that the division that regulates these amusement parks is the Division of Oil and Public Safety?
Yeah, and that's one of the subdivisions, and the Bureau of Labor is involved as well. But it's an amazing situation. But the point that we're trying to make right now is if you're injured, you need to report it. And by the way, if there's an injury, let's just say a Ferris wheel, let's say a roller coaster, then once the injury is reported, if it's a reportable injury, the amusement park operator has to preserve the equipment the way it was. I mean, see, it's so important to be able to prove what the defect was. I mean, was there a shearing in the nuts, the bolts? Was there a shearing in the construction, in the steel construction? Was there improper maintenance, improper repair? But you're never going to know those things. You don't know how to prove those things unless the equipment is preserved. It's almost like a truck accident. You need to get to the scene as soon as possible.
Well, when you talk about the things, just the division itself identifies over 14 things, but identifies specifically 14 things that are supposed to be inspected on a right. If you don't get that ride protected, those 14 things might be inspected the next day and they might be changed. They might be modified. Somebody might do something to them. It may not be available for you to do anything.
Right. And that's one of the things I was talking about on that ski country where the chairlift just broke, the cable snapped. Well, there had to be a defect there, but to prove the defect, you have to inspect the cable. You have to inspect in an amusement park the Ferris wheel, where it broke. Where the roller coaster was defective? Was the track defective? Were the wheels defective? Were they not properly maintained? And they will tell you later, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. And by the way, we dispose of that. But under these new rules and regulations, they can't dispose of it.
Right. You know, like the ski ride thing. If, you know, they're going to ski the next day, folks. They're going to fix that cable. They're going to fix that ride that night, the lift. They're going to fix it. That's what they do a lot in amusement parks. If something's gone wrong, they're going to fix it. And or the next day when they inspect it, if they see something wrong, they're going to fix it. Well, you need the information immediately. And a lot of times you got to freeze that information. And the only way it gets frozen is by first reporting the injury.
Right. Well, and then they have to preserve it. If they don't preserve it, they violated the rule and regulation. And that can be used in your favor, the victim's favor, that they did not preserve the evidence. And then there are certain presumptions that apply against the operator or owner who does not preserve the evidence or the equipment or the failed equipment. So that's a very powerful concept. We're talking about amusement park injuries today. It's a large area. There's very competing laws, negligence and premises liability that was covered earlier. But this is new regulations, May 7th, 2014, which we're talking about right now. We got a break coming up, but after the break, we're going to tell you that there has to be a daily inspection record. But of what? A daily inspection record of what? We're going to answer those questions for you when we get back. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. We love doing these shows. We love giving you the information. We are injury attorneys. Our law firm is conveniently located at I-25 in Orchard, basically. Our telephone number, 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. You'll go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. We are Colorado's premier injury law firm, and we are your champions of the people.
Ready for an extraordinary lunch? As fast or as slow as you want it, with all fresh ingredients? Caitlin's Restaurant has it all. Express lunches that won't keep you waiting, or if you prefer, lunch served in that old-fashioned homemade style, all made fresh on the spot. Whether it's a fresh-made sandwich with homemade chips, quesadilla loaded with cheddar or jack cheeses, or scratch-made soups, you'll find everything you love at Caitlin's. Caitlin's is located on Mississippi just east of Colorado Boulevard next to Bookies. How about green chili chicken stew? Think about a variety of fresh-made sandwiches or 11 different kinds of burgers made to order with 1/2 pound of the finest USDA choice lean ground beef. You might favor a homemade New Mexican recipe with carne adobada burritos, chicken enchiladas, carnitas burritos, served with hash brown special recipe beans, cheeses with guacamole, and your choice of homemade red or green chili sauces. For those who prefer the lighter side, there are fresh made salads and lighter fares. Sure to delight. Try Caitlin's for lunch or breakfast on Mississippi just east of Colorado Boulevard next to Bookies. Call 303-798-6600. You'll love it every bite of the way.
When a driver chooses to violate a safety rule, everyone on the road is in danger. That means you, me, everyone. Driving and dangerous choices. Think about it. The only allowable choice is the safest choice. Otherwise, you and your family are put at risk, in harm's way. This is really what car crashes are all about. One driver makes a choice that violates a safety rule. Everyone else is needlessly put in danger. In danger of injury, medical bills, surgery, lost jobs, quality of life changes, and future expenses. All it takes is one driver and one dangerous choice. I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We've been representing injured victims for over 25 years. We can help you put your life back together again. We'll fight the insurance company who defends those who injure you and your family, those who make dangerous choices. At Bell and Pollock, we are experienced injury attorneys who care about you and your family. Reach us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com or call us at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. One call, that's all. Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We're here to help you. We are injury attorneys. We do this all the time. And by the way, don't forget our Saturday morning live call-in show, 7 o'clock in the morning. Got to get up. 7 o'clock in the morning. It's on the AM dial, 630 AM KHOW. You can ask us on that show any question on any legal subject, and we help you there. We answer your questions, and we help you during the week if you need help. We try to solve your problem. You can do it anytime. That's 7 o'clock in the morning. Okay, so today we're talking about amusement park liability. It's a large subject. We're touching the tip of the iceberg. So, Brad, we get the new regulations say you have to have a daily inspection records, which must include an inspection of the equipment, and there has to be a daily inspection record that you can look at. But let's talk about some of the items that have to be inspected.
Well, the first thing they're going to inspect is safety belts, the bars, the locks, other passenger restraints. Very important. Automatic and manual safety devices. They got to make sure they're working. Signal systems, brakes and control devices. Safety pins and keys. Fencing, guards, barricades, stairways and ramps all have to be inspected. Ride structure and moving parts have to be inspected. The tightness of bolts and nuts. I'll bet they don't really do that. Can you imagine the person going around checking all those?
This is a daily inspection we're talking about under these new rules and regulations.
They got to have a form checking it off, saying they're doing it, blocking support braces and jack stands.
My favorite one's the electrical equipment. I mean, that's a category that's required. Are they going to inspect the electrical equipment?
Lubrication as per manufacturer's instructions. I find it real interesting how many of the people who are lubricating even know what the manufacturer's instructions are.
Right.
Hydraulic and pneumatic equipment. They have to be inspecting it. They have to check the communication equipment necessary for the operation. Make sure that people hear the instructions they're giving. Prior to opening and operating the ride, they have to do one complete cycle of the proper functioning. So you're going to see them running that ride through if you're there when they're first opening up. And then they're supposed to inspect any other component that is included in the manufacturer's specific ride maintenance and safety checks. When you get when you get hurt, not only do you have to report it immediately to preserve the equipment, but somebody's got to go get the manufacturer's specs.
Right, you get the manufacturer's specs, but you need to get an engineer, a qualified person on the site as soon as possible to inspect the mandatorily preserved equipment. All right, you can call us at any time, 303-795-5900. We are injury attorneys here to help you, 303-795-5900, or go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website, and don't forget we have a feature on there called Meeting by Accident. It's the most commonly asked questions and answers given to those questions by people involved in car accidents, championsofthepeople.com. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, we love doing the show for you. We are injury attorneys. Give us a call. We are Colorado's premier injury law firm, and we are your champions of the people.